Been about 20 years since I've done three masses in a row. I used to do that for 6 years in a row in Delcom, and Father Glad has got a sore throat, so I have the 7, 8:30, and 10, but I'm still standing, so that's good. You have to kind of hold back. You can't give as much at each one when you have a lot of them in a row. Stephen Covey was born in 1932 in Salt Lake City, Utah, and he was good in athletics, so he was thinking of making that into a career. But then he started to have physical problems, and so he focused on academics. He got his master's from Harvard and a doctorate from Brigham Young University. And he married Sandra, and they had 9 children and 52 grandchildren. He died in July 2012 from complications from a bike accident. But before that, in 1989, he published the famous book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. 25 million copies or more have been sold, and Time magazine said it is one of the 25 most influential business management books that there are. And his habit number 2 is this: begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind and clarify your goals, and you'll know how to get to your goal in the meantime. So I think we can apply this to the spiritual life as well. Not all business things can be applied to the spiritual life, but this one can. That we should keep our eyes fixed on the goal, which is life on high in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? That is our goal, and so that should help us to get through not only the Lenten season and the penances that we have chosen, but our whole life and the ups and downs of the journey of faith that we are all on. The first Sunday of Lent every year, we look at the temptation of Adam and Eve and the temptation of Jesus, and how Jesus showed us how to overcome temptation, right? So we saw the origin of our problems with sin, and now we see the goal of victory over sin and life on high in heaven. And on the second Sunday of Lent, the church every year has us look at the transfiguration of Jesus, because Jesus wanted to show these apostles the goal so that they could have this in mind and not lose heart totally, at least at the crucifixion of the Lord. And the church also has us look each year on this Sunday at the first reading at the life of Abraham, because Abraham was also on a journey of faith. And he was asked, I think he was around 90 years old, when he was asked to leave his hometown of Chaldea, which is present-day Iraq, and go all the way to the land of Canaan, which would later be named Israel after Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who was given the name Israel. And so he had to make that journey of faith at a very late point in life. So imagine yourselves, if you were 90 years old, and having to leave Ville Platte and go maybe to a foreign country, all the way down to Argentina or very far up north. It would be difficult. It would be an act of faith. And another connection with Jesus is that, remember, Abraham would later on have to offer up his beloved son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. God eventually said, no, don't sacrifice him. Use this ram. And so that's a sign of Jesus, right? Because Isaac, it says in the book of Genesis, carried the wood on his shoulders for the sacrifice, much like Jesus, who later on would offer up and carry the wood of the cross on his shoulders and truly be offered up, not be spared, because he is the true and eternal sacrifice that is given to us. And if you listen closely, there were 3 promises that were made to Abraham. Number 1, he said, I will make you a great nation. And this was fulfilled through one of Abraham's descendants named Moses, who would gather the 12 tribes of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai and receive the law from God, and that would form them into a nation. And then God made a second promise. He said, I will make your name great. And in the Hebrew language, that means I will make you a royal dynasty. And that was fulfilled later on in King David, one of the descendants of Abraham, and his dynasty that was promised to last forever. And thirdly, God said that I will make you a blessing to all the families of the earth. The translation today said communities, not a good translation. It should say families of the earth. Not only individual families, but national families as well. Everybody. So not only the Israelites, but the pagans as well. And that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord, in the sacrifice that he offered up, and in the church that we call universal. The Greek word is Catholic. It's universal. It's for all nations, races, and peoples. God wants us to be one family throughout the whole world, as he intended from the very beginning, but was fractured by original sin and by all of our consequent sins as well. God has been working towards this goal of uniting humanity together in his love and in his grace. And so we're all called to this. St. Paul today tells Timothy, he says, bear your share of the hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. So we all know that through our life journey, we're going to have crosses that we have to bear. Has anybody here not had a problem in life? Nobody. All right. Everybody has had problems. Everybody has had crosses, some bigger than others. And yet God gives us the strength and the courage to carry that cross throughout our life journey. And he gives us that strength. And so we see in the gospel today, Jesus transfigured before Peter, James, and John, because he wanted to give them a glimpse of his glory before the crucifixion. He had already predicted to them one time that I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die, but rise again. And then he would predict it a second and a third time. But in between the first and second, he gave them this glimpse of his glory, probably on Mount Tabor in the Holy Land. And now there's a Catholic church on top of there, and I've been blessed to be there and be a part of a mass there and overlooking all of the Holy Land. And Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes. Very similar to what happened to Moses. Moses brought three companions, if you read the Bible closely, up Mount Sinai. And they had this feast with God. And Moses' face shone in glory. And so Jesus does the same, right? We know that Jesus is much greater than Moses. But Peter didn't know that right away. Peter said, oh, Lord, this is great. Let's make a tent for Moses and Elijah and for you, one for each of you. So he was kind of putting Jesus on the same level. But then God's voice came and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And then Peter, James, and John knew this Jesus is greater than Moses and Elijah. And indeed, they disappeared and only Jesus was there to show that he is the mediator between God and man. He is the Son of God. And Moses had predicted in Deuteronomy 18 that a prophet like me, God will raise up, and him you must listen to. And indeed, it was fulfilled in Jesus, but he's greater than a prophet. He is God in the flesh, and he has come to offer up his very life for us. And so this is our blessing, to keep our eyes fixed on the goal, life on high in Christ Jesus. So that should give us the courage to persevere through our Lenten penances that we have chosen, and the penances that God has given to us, right? Sometimes we choose our penances, and sometimes penances are given to us, right? The misère, the tracas of life that we have to go through, right? They can happen to us as well. So we can carry this cross because Jesus did. He can make us stronger if we grow in virtue by accepting it and working with it and using it to glorify God, to give him praise and thanksgiving. The Lord will be with us through the high points of life, the mountaintop experiences like the Transfiguration. Might be at a retreat that you've been to. Got the Acts retreat coming up, the Gran Coteau retreat, Curcio's and so forth. Might be in a spiritual experience that you have in your home. Just today somebody was telling me how mother has been praying for her son to draw ever closer to our Lord. Long time she's been praying, and she did a long novena. And at the end of that novena, the prayer was answered. So the power of prayer, persevering in prayer, the grace of the Lord to touch people's lives. The Lord is with us through the highs and the lows, and he will give us that eternal high of glory with him in heaven if we follow him faithfully throughout this life. So let's keep Stephen Covey's habit number 2 in our minds. Keep the goal in our minds and in our hearts. Amen.